This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, now enlighten our minds and help us to understand the Bible, the faith that was delivered to the saints. Let us take up the scriptures and be given knowledge and understanding and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now you'll notice there in the beginning of the text, it's an interesting statement. Paul says, I want to remind you of this. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to repeat myself. Because you repeat yourself when you're talking about the most important things. I need to say this again, Paul is saying. I want to remind you of the gospel. That is the good news. I want to remind you about the good news. And this is what the good news has done for you, he goes on to say. It's something you received there. And it's also something on which you stand. And it's on which you're being saved if you hold fast. So that is basically this gospel. You received it. You stand in it. You're saved in it if you keep it. If you hold on to it. You don't let go of it. Unless you believed in vain. And that's the point. These things came by believing. And if you didn't really believe, if you believed in vain, or if you deny the resurrection of the dead, that's where he's going. If you deny the resurrection, you believed in vain. He's showing then that there is this interesting thing that we receive in the gospel. In the gospel come all these blessings. But he's saying that the gospel itself is an event. A factual event that actually happened in history. That's what he's telling them. He said, in this gospel, this factual event, because he goes on to say what the gospel is. In verse 3, he says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I received. In other words, this gospel that saves you, that you stand in, that you're holding on to, that you're not giving up by faith, this gospel is a historical event. For he goes on in verse 3, I delivered to you as of first importance. Of everything you could possibly hear, first importance is this. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and the third day in accordance with the scriptures, he rose again. So two things. He died for our sins, and he rose again. So let's get in a transporter. Let's get in a time machine. Let's pretend for just a moment. We go back in time, you know, 2,000 years, perhaps it's around 2033. Now, suppose we go to 2033 AD, which is a few years ahead of us, go backwards 1,000 years, 33 AD. So it's nearly 1,000 years ago. Go back in time. Suppose we were with Caesar Tiberius in Rome. He's the Caesar, after all, right now. Suppose we were there like a reporter, and we're in his court, and he's issuing decrees and making decisions. We could write about those. And we could have it preserved and read it today, and it's a factual, evident story. It's what a reporter does. He gives a narration of the facts. Or perhaps you're with Pontius Pilate, and you're watching him. While these events are happening with Christ, he's being crucified. Pilate, who sealed his death by signing the death warrant. Let's look at Pilate. Perhaps we could watch him wash his hands. And perhaps we could see it. We could write about it. Or perhaps just some obscure death in Egypt. Some Egyptian passed away. Or in the land of Israel. Perhaps some older person. Just this is the day they breathe their last. Jesus is there dying somewhere else. But this person dies. What is it about Christ's death that day that is so important as a factual, evident, historical event? Well, the reason is the phrase, Christ died for our sins. So there's some kind of connection all of us in this room can have with that event that happened 2,000 years ago. That death there on the cross that seemed like a death of a criminal between two thieves was a death unlike any other in the history of the world. Because that death was one that God had ordained would be one that would save people from judgment. That would save them from their wrongdoings, from their sins. This is the death unlike any other death because this one is connected to our sins. Well, how is a death 2,000 years ago connected to our sins? That is, how is a death 2,000 years ago connected to the things that we have said wrong with our mouths and we've hurt someone or someone has wronged us? or that we have thought with our minds, we've had these things in our minds, we've conjured up and we know they're wrong, and we've run them through our mind like a tape player or a video or a movie, and we have in our minds, we have done all kinds of horrible things, we've gotten vengeance on others that we didn't actually do, but in our minds we did it. And all those things we know deep down, they're miserable, they're wrong, we should not think them. With our minds, with our mouths, and with the motions of our bodies, we have gone and done things we regret. We've hurt people. We've hurt ourselves. And we know it's wrong, and we try and hide from it, but we know we did it. How are those things we've done that are now listed before God in His heavenly kingdom, these things with our minds, our mouths, and the motions of our bodies, how have we, these sins, how are we connected to this death? Well, the Bible says the soul that sins shall surely die. It also says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. It even says no one is righteous, no one is good, all have turned away. In other words, all of us have done things wrong. We've sinned. And God has said that those sins separate us from Him and from His kingdom and from eternity and from hope. We're left with misery. Well, this death back 2,000 years ago is connected to those sins. How? Here's how. That death is a substitute death for ours if we believe in Jesus Christ. That death is a substitute death for the sins of Christ's people. That death pays for the sins and the punishments that are due to us who believe on Jesus. They are paid for. It's an act of substitution. So the death 2,000 years ago is a substitutionary death. We know this from the Scriptures. Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. And we know that there was one who was pierced because Jesus on the cross, the nails were pierced into his hands and his feet. And he even says in Psalm 22, they pierced my hands and feet. And there was a spear that pierced him in his side. And we sang about it a moment ago. And when in the book of John it talks about he was pierced in his side, he was already dead. But they pierced him in his side up to the heart to prove that he was gone because they pushed it through his heart. Blood came out. It proved Jesus was dead. He had died. And so this Isaiah 53 says he was pierced for our transgressions. 1 Corinthians 15:3 said, remember, he, according to the Scriptures, died for our sins. Isaiah 53:5 says he was pierced for our transgressions. Same thing. He was crushed for our iniquities. With his wounds we are healed. Now, here's the interesting thing. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord laid on him our sins. And then in Isaiah 53:10, it says, it was the will of the Lord to crush him. So it was God's will that Jesus would taste death as a substitute for our sins. And he would take the punishments and the trials and the torture and the horrible sense of being cut off from God for us in the darkness. That's happening right now as we look back from noon till 3. Christ took the punishments due to our sin. It says it right there. He was charged with my guilt. He took my punishment. He gave me a guilt-free declaration. He gave me life by his death. His death is my life. His suffering is my healing. His agony is my victory. His cross is my freedom. His end is my beginning. By his wounds, we are healed. You see, that's the important connection that puts us here today in contact with a death that happened 2,000 years ago. So that God could, in a fair and square way, deal with our sin. There is no fair and square way for God to let our sins go and just say it's okay. We're not going to worry about it. Because God is perfectly just, and only perfectly just and righteous things and people get into heaven and taste resurrection of the dead and experience His goodness. So that death is our life. So He offers in that factual historical moment new life by two facts. Died for sinners, rose from the dead. He was raised. We're going to talk about this on Sunday more in our Resurrection Sunday service. But Jesus died for sinners to pay for their sins, and then he rose from the dead. And so it's if you believe those things, you're saved. The connection to hope in that death is that by believing in it and his resurrection, we're saved. And here's how it works. I believe it's true. Died for my sins, rose from the dead. And I believe it's true for me. And I take him at his word. And I take him as my life. If you believe, your connection to those events then is by faith. You weren't there, but they really happened. And by believing that it happened, and then believing in the one who did what happened, you're saved. So you could say, I believe it happened. He died, he rose. And I believe it's enough for me to save me from the things that I did wrong with my mouth and said wrong with my mouth and did wrong with my emotions of my body and what I've thought with my mind. He saves me. I affirm it. I believe it. I trust him. And you keep trusting him. And then he gives you promises to hold on to because Paul said, if you continue. Well, the if you continue comes with promises in the Bible. That's how you continue, by faith in the promises where he said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age, and you believe it, and you keep going even though you don't want to sometimes. Maybe you don't want to keep going even today. So today I would reaffirm that you can touch a death for you 2,000 years ago on a cross and a new life for yourself by believing in those events and in the one who did those events, Jesus Christ. You reaffirm it. He died for my sins. He rose for my salvation. I trust him. I cast everything on him completely. Right now, it's just between you and him. I cast it all on him. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I have sinned. And I look to you. Renew me. See, this is good news even for us who've believed for years. I've been believing on Christ for years, and I'm reminded even today how much I need him. Every time we pray these prayers of confession, I'm reminded that Jesus said he'd save me if I believed in him, and he even came and got me and gave me the power to believe. He awakened me, and he took me, and he continues to keep me. And every time I hear a scripture, he can remind me with it that he is mine and I'm his. What more could you want? Oh, this death was unlike any other death at any other time. And this resurrection is the only one that's ever happened so far. But there's another one coming. Where all those who lie in the grave today will raise from the dead. And I believe that. Because it's connected to this life. I believe that Jesus died for sinners on the cross. And I believe he rose again. And I'm connected to his resurrection too. By faith. So that you will raise too. Now we sang that song, Were You There? We'll close with this. When they crucified my Lord. And I told the newspaper, when they put a little article out about today's service, that it's the only song I've got from my dad that he sang before he died. He sang it in 1961. I wasn't even born yet, but I got a hold of it years later. I was born in 63. He died in 69. And my mom was widowed, but he became a Christian in 1969, before he died. Strong, powerful conversion and came to know the Lord. And I got to thinking as we sang today, he wasn't there when Christ was crucified. He wasn't there when they crucified his Lord. He wasn't there when they nailed him to a tree. He wasn't there when he rose up from the grave. But he believed on it by faith. And by faith and believing on it, he could go there in the scriptures and see the story and experience what it was like to be there. Hence the song. We can actually go by faith and realize what he did and study it and be moved by it. And so he was not there, but by faith he saw it. And I believe that by faith in the great resurrection of the dead, all of us who call on him, including him, will gather together in victory, serving and singing to the one who did it, Jesus Christ. That's the Savior. That's the Lord. Reaffirm your trust in him. Reaffirm your, I believe. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we ask now that this event would seem more real to us, that you would increase our faith, strengthen the bond that we might stand firm in the gospel, and that we know it's the gospel that saves us. And Lord, give us the power to persevere and stay on this gospel till the day we die. This is the most important death and the most important life that there has ever been. Jesus Christ, the Savior. We take him now in Jesus' name. Amen.